This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. In the name of Jesus, amen.
May
be seated. This day in the church calendar, Holy Innocence Sunday, takes us into a painfully quiet room. A room where there should be somebody in that room, but there's not. A room where a crib was prepared, a name was chosen, and a future was imagined. Holy Innocence Sunday brings us into one of those rooms. We hear it again and again, and it still shocks us that children are harmed, families grieving, and it's all power protecting itself at the expense of the powerless. And Matthew's gospel does not soften the story. Christmas is barely over, and there is blood on the streets of Bethlehem. After the angels go silent, after the songs fade, after the shepherds return to their fields, the story turns dark. And that same night that held a manger soon hold mourning. The child who came to give life becomes the reason other children lose theirs. Yes, it is very difficult. Even as today, if we have shared the peace with one another in the church, we also have sung, "The Lord have mercy." We also sang that there are martyrs in the kingdom of God. That means the horror is real. And this is the world that Jesus is born into. This world. This one where we're at, where the church is at now, on this side of heaven, that still stands. And yet Matthew insists this was to fulfill. Not because God delights in blood, but because Christ enters a world where blood is already being spilled, and he does not turn away. Even this suffering is taken up into fulfillment. Even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. Now Herod, then, is the curator of this slaughter. But what about the Herods of today? Do we know any Herods of today? Because Herod is not a relic of the past. He is the world as it still is. So Herods do not need to be reinvented again. But Herod dies eventually, but he doesn't disappear when the chapter ends. Herods appear wherever fear clings to power, wherever the innocent are treated as expendable, wherever life is sacrificed so that someone else can stay king, wherever control matters more than life, whenever somebody rings out my body, my choice. The scripture does not call this unusual. It calls it the world into which Christ is born. That is exactly the kind of world the Son of God enters. Not after it's cleaned up, not once it's safe, but while Herod still reigns. Truthfully, Herod is the devil incarnate, the big red dragon ready to devour the woman's baby as soon as he was born. So Joseph must arise and take the child and his mother by night and flee. No speeches, no heroics, no explanation, just obedience that protects the Christ. Therefore, the promise of God does not advance by strength, but by being guarded. God hides his Son. God preserves his Christ. Even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. It was the prophet Hosea who prophesied, "The out of Egypt I called my son" part there. That's because Israel was God's son. But now all Israel is going to be reduced to one, Jesus. Jesus is taken down to Egypt so that he may be called out, but not as a nation, but as the Son. And when the Son is called out, the promise is ready to be shared. Now, with all that, it doesn't promise that tears will be canceled. The law lets the weeping stand. Rachel weeps for her children. But then we turn to Jeremiah, speaking hope for the future. Hope in the promise is what carries you through the tears. hope in the promise is what carries you through the tears. And even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. This is why the church dares to speak comfort here, not because she has answers, but because she has a Christ who has stood where we stand. So, if you are carrying grief into this season, grief that has no timetable, grief that others have moved past, this day does not rush you. Christ does not hurry you out of that mourning. He stands with you in it. But it is okay to ask, then how does God answer the slaughter? Because he does not explain it. What he does is he incarnates it. Not explanation, but incarnation. God sends his Son under the law, into danger, into exile, to redeem and to adopt. The children die, but the child lives, so that death does not have the final word. Fulfillment means God keeps his promise by giving his Son. But by now you may be sitting there thinking, geez, Pastor, sure know how to put a damper on Christmas. Fair enough. So why does the church place this day on her calendar? She does so as a bereaved mother who weeps for her children. And the church confesses them as the first martyrs for Jesus, killed because of him, even before they knew his name. They did not die apart from Christ. They died because of him. Even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. Yes, like Matthew, the church says this was to fulfill. When what we see is slaughter and grief, it does not mean that this was to fulfill means that evil becomes good. Fulfillment does not mean that suffering is justified. Fulfillment means that evil does not stop God from keeping his promise, even here, even now. So God does not call the slaughter good. He calls his Son into it. By giving his Son, God keeps his promise without blessing the evil that made it necessary. So what does that say to this holy day, to parents who grieve? Does not tell them to stop weeping. Does not tell them that everything happens for a reason. It tells them that God has seen the tears before, that he hears the cries of mothers, and he's heard them before, and that he has not stayed away from them far. The God who hears Rachel's weeping is the God who gives his Son to death. He does not stand above the grief. He enters it. Like I told the children, God holds those children in his arms. The outstretched arms of the Son was for them too. Where does that leave us? 3 days after Christmas, and the gospel appears droopy news. That's because the gospel, Christmas, does not deny the world as it is. Christmas is God entering it. The church does not move on from Bethlehem pretending Herod is gone. She confesses that the child born for us, born into danger, and was born into sorrow, born into death. So this feast day is not meant to make us droop. It simply is meant to tell the truth. The joy of Christmas is strong enough to stand even here. Christmas joy, however, is not fragile. It can stand. Christmas joy can stand in the middle of grief. Why? Because Christ has. Christ has fully filled the sufferings of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There is no suffering left outside of him. That's why St. Paul can write to the church, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now there, Paul is not saying that suffering is a small thing. He is saying that the glory is greater. The Christmas glory is greater, and that Christmas glory is here for you today. Christ, the Holy Innocent, became sin for us so that he might give us back innocence to God. And now, although we do not leave this place with all the answers, we do leave it with a Savior. We leave with a Savior who gives us food for faith and who calls us back again and again and again to receive him. So there is joy to the world. Do not let the Herods of this world rob you of that joy. The holy innocents are not forgotten. The grieving are not ignored. And the suffering of this world is not unanswered, because God has made a way through suffering to give life and to give it more abundantly. Now here at Redeemer on middle of the week on Wednesdays, our early childhood ministry with me leading has Wednesday morning chapel on Wednesdays. I lead the young children every Wednesday through singing songs. We do a thing called a chapel letter, try to teach them a theme of the day, words about God. There's animation on a screen up here that we sing along to. But I want to call to your attention this song we sing every time. It's one of their favorites. It's called My God is So Big. You might have seen that cartoon. It's with an elephant in it. They got these animals. They know who they are. My God is so big, it goes, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. He made the trees, he made the seas, he made the elephants too. It repeats, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. As they wave their little fingers, there's nothing my God cannot do. That's a good song to have a childlike faith about. Okay, but how about Jeremiah's song? They shall come back from the land of the enemy, and they shall come back to their own country, declares the Lord. I tried to put that to the same melody of that. I don't know how good of a job I did. They shall come back from the land of the enemy, and they shall come back to their own country, declares the Lord. That's Jeremiah's song, because even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. Yes, there is death, but there will be resurrection. As we move into the new year, the church triumphant will still continue to go on living out and clinging to these promises of God in Christ Jesus. So if you want a resolution, write that down. What's the resolution for the new year? Living in the promises of Jesus. And the church, the body of Christ, is the conduit of power to live on these promises of God. Promises of God do not tell you that everything is going to be your finest, your best this year. Everything's coming to you this year. No. The promises of God tell you there is a hope for your future. Holy and innocence are your future because it has been fully filled in Jesus. This is how the grief and the tears end. The dragon, the accuser, loses the battle. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. The babies today rejoice with the Lamb wherever he goes. Children of the Heavenly Father rejoice wherever he takes us, safely in his bosom gathered. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. And though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Because even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. I told you at the beginning of the service today about the number of days it was. Today's the fourth day of Christmas. The day of the Holy Innocents, but on the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds. Am I right? Four calling birds? Pretty sure that's right. The four calling birds in early church tradition have always been recognized as the four gospels. Jesus' four gospels that proclaim the good news. You see, because Christmas already whispers Good Friday and promises Easter. From the wood of the manger to the wood of the cross, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. Kings do not fear thrones nearly as much as they fear cradles. You can break a cradle, but you cannot break God's mercy. And tomorrow may come and still bring tears, but so will God's word that names, holds, and prepares a room for you, where a future is given, not imagined, where a future is received, where a future is spoken by God that cannot be taken away. Because even through suffering, God's promises are fully filled in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.